Well, how many of you know that our guys were set up pretty good, huh? I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to two passages, Ephesians chapter 5, and then we're going to look in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, and then we're going to go over to 1 Peter chapter 3 in just a few moments and deal with that. So go ahead and find 1 Peter chapter 3. I heard about two ladies who escaped from prison. They ran out into a field and climbed up a tree. Well, the bloodhounds came out with the guards, and they went to the tree where the first lady was after they picked up the scent. And the bloodhounds were just obeying. And she was a pretty smart lady, and she started to do this. She said, "Coo, coo, coo." Well, the dogs kept baying, but the guards couldn't see anything, and so they said, "Get the dogs away from there. There's nothing but a dumb old bird up there." They went over to the other tree, picked up the scent of the second prisoner, and the dogs began to baying, and she was not as smart as the first lady, and she began to wonder, "What am I going to do?" And so she said, "Moo, moo, moo." Now, how many of you know that cows don't climb trees? Ladies, there's a lot of times when you are mooing when you need to be cooing. Stand with me, please. Let's look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Verse 21 says, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything." Now, over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, leave that open. We'll pray, and then we'll get into the Word. You're an awesome God, Father. Give us a word from the Word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. According to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, the key word for the husband is to love his wife. So men, would you say the word love with me? Say it with me, love. Husbands are to, say it again, love their wives. According to Ephesians 5:33, the key word for the wife is respect. Some of your Bibles, the King James, New King James, may say reverence, to respect. So ladies, say the word with me, respect. Say the word respect. Say the word with me, girls. Now, girls, the guys did just fine. We are to, say it with me, respect. The word respect means to give high esteem. It means to elevate. It means to be in awe. A man wants you to say, "I love you," but he needs you to say, "I respect you." Our wives need us to tell them that we respect them, but they really need our love. Today we're going to look at the wives. And there are three things that we're going to look at. We're going to look at the wives' mission, the wives' makeup, and the wives' models. The wives' mission, ladies, if you choose to accept it, is found in the word submission. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I've been a Baptist preacher long enough to know what you're thinking, because when pastors usually begin to preach on the word submission, the ladies check out. And the reason for that is because we have made a very good biblical word a very bad word. We have made it to mean something that it was never meant to mean. We have misused it, we have abused it, we have misrepresented it. It is a good, good word that has been used by some bad, bad people. It doesn't mean that a woman or a wife is to be her husband's doormat. It doesn't mean that she does not enter into that conversation and give input. Far from it. So write these things down about the word submission. First of all, submission is a military term. meaning to line up underneath, to rank and file, to be in order under. Secondly, submission means to yield. I choose by an act of my will to love my wife. My wife chooses by an act of her will to yield to my headship. Thirdly, submission has to do with function, not being. With function, not being. In a moment, we'll explain that a little bit. And then fourthly, submission does not mean inequality. Submission means to line up in order under of rank and file, headship, program, etc. It means to yield. Now, some of you ladies are thinking, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I make more money than he does. I have a higher degree of education than he does. I certainly do more work around the house than he does. Doesn't that mean something? It seems to me, in the year 2007, that is very unfair. Listen to me carefully. It does not matter how much you bring to the table. The husband has to yield too. Ephesians 5:21 says, be subject to one another. But submission has to do with function and not being. It has to do not with value or essence, but with the program of God. How many of you are familiar this morning with Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman? How many of you have heard of her? Well, listen to what the Bible says about the virtuous woman. She was certainly not a mamby-pamby, mossy-backed, passive woman. She was awesome, as a matter of fact. The Bible tells us this about her. She negotiated with merchants from afar. She must have had her MBA. The Scripture tells us that she was buying and selling land. She must have had a real estate license. The Bible tells us that she writes out of her own resources, which means she had her own work going on. Not only that, but she had her own ministry, because the Bible said she ministered to the poor. But get the context. This awesome woman of Proverbs 31 used to the benefit of her husband her submission. And here's what submission means. When all the facts have been brought to the table and all the cards have been laid down, it means that she recognizes that she yields to her husband. Did you know that the word submission is in every classification of life? For example, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians and in other books in the Bible that Christians are to submit to God. Citizens are to submit to the government. Church members submit to the pastors. Employees submit to the employers. Submission is a good word. And only place that submission is forbidden is when the man refuses to obey the word of God and tries to get the wife in trouble. Submission does not mean inequality. As a matter of fact, in this verse we read in chapter 3 and verse 7 that the woman is a fellow heir. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, God gives a chain of command. He says God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. And the man is the head of the woman. Now think about that. God is the head of Christ. And yet on one occasion, at least one occasion, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And then he said, I came to do your will, O God. How can he be equal with God on one hand and submissive to God on the other hand? Well, listen to this very carefully. Equality has to do with the essence, and submission has to do with function. Jesus had all the attributes of God the Father, and yet he got into the program of God and submitted himself to God. Wives are equal to their husbands in every way. In no way is a woman ever inferior to a man. But in the program of God, God says, I want, for the protection of the wife and for the health of the home, I want the wives to be submissive, not promiscuous, but submissive. That's another sermon. That was secrets. What is the head? What is the job of the head? The job of the head is to tell the body what to do. For example, my arms are moving. You know why? Because my head told them to. Stop moving, arms. My arms are no longer moving. Why? Because my head told them to. Now, what if this happens? Move arms. They're just moving. Crazy arms. That's what I sang to my wife on our first date. Stop moving, arms. Stop moving, arms. Arms, stop moving. You say, man, Pastor, you're spastic. I've got an issue, don't I? Because my body is not listening to my head. What that means is I've got a sickness in my body. When the wife chooses by her will not to be submissive to her husband, God says, I don't bless anything that's in rebellion. Now, ladies, let me ask you a question. Is your husband sleeping with the enemy? There are some women whose job it is to find out where their husband is leading and go the other way. Ain't no man telling me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. You remember the problem that Eve had? She started talking to snakes in the garden. Remember that? When you start talking to snakes, you're going to have problems. Somebody says, where was Adam? We'll get to him in a minute. But she started talking to snakes, and the snake started talking to her and said, hey, God's holding out on you. Now, the moment she started talking to the snake without her husband's permission, she was going to get that home in trouble. Hey, by the way, where was Adam? He is standing right there. Roop-a-doop-a-doop-boop-boop. Hey, sure, I'll eat some of the apple. It was not Adam's fault, it was Eve, but it was Adam's responsibility. And Eve decided, I'm going to reverse the roles. And here's what's happened in a lot of homes. She's going to become the man, and he's going to become the woman. He's right there. He's not across the garden somewhere tending to the garden. He's right there. Genesis 3:6 tells us he's right there. She gave him the apple. He's right there. Or the orange, or the plum, or the banana, whatever it was. Probably a grape, a raisin, something like that. He took a bite of it, and when he did, all hell broke loose in that home. When you start talking to snakes, girls, you're inviting the devil into your home, and he's going to mess it up. Now, look what the Bible says. In the same way, verse 1, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them, that is the husband, are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Hey, Pastor, if I choose to obey God, to submit to my husband, what's the payoff? Well, according to verse 1, if your husband is an unbeliever, you're going to win him. According to verse 1, if your husband is not right with God but knows Christ, you're going to win him back. Now look at what he said. He said in verse 1, by your behavior without a word. Some man says, my wife ain't ever been without a word. She's always got a word. I get up in the morning to a word. I go to bed at night to a word. My wife has got a word. Well, it's all right to have a word as long as that word's not a nagging word. Now, watch this. Look at the word in verse 1, behavior, and underline it. Because he's going to be one without a word, not without the word of God, but out a word from you by the behavior of your wife. Hey, girls, come here. Guys, don't listen. Girls, come here. Come here. If you've been living with your husband for a long time and he hasn't changed and you've been nagging him and complaining and berating him, stop it. It ain't working. Amen, girls? You got to change your behavior if you want to change your man. I mean, if you've always got the whip and you're wearing him out and he's not changing, change your behavior. And look at what he says. Look at what he says in verse 2. As they observe your chaste, underline this word, respectful behavior. You say, but preacher, you don't know my man. You know what I know? I know that there are some bad men, and I know that there are some bad women. Let the church say amen. And you don't want to live with either one of them. But here's the truth of the matter. If you're married, you say, my husband is weak. He doesn't know how to treat a woman. His daddy didn't know how to treat a woman. His granddaddy probably didn't know how to treat a woman. And I'm not following him. Following him is like following a parked car. He ain't going anywhere. And I'm just tired of it, and I'm just running up against it. And listen, Eve was a helpmeet, not a hurtmeet. And if your husband is parked and he's not moving, your responsibility is not to hurt him. Your responsibility is to help him move on. And he says, when you respect him. My dad was a quail hunter. I mean, he could pop a quail out of the sky quicker than you could bat an eye. If there were three shells in the shotgun, three birds got up, bam, 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 they were coming down. And here's what my dad did. When the bird dogs were just puppies, he would take an old cane pole and he would put a bird wing, the quail's wing, on the end of the string on that pole, and he would put a little collar around that bird dog's neck. And he would take that wing and he would dangle it before that little puppy, that puppy bird dog. And that bird dog would want to rush in on that thing. I mean, he'd just want to rush in and bite that wing. And when he did, my dad would pop that collar and he'd stop. Finally, that bird dog would see that wing, get a scent of that wing, and he would hit the point. My dad could take the collar off of him because he wasn't worried about him now flushing the covey of quail. He knew that when he got the scent of the quail, he was going to stop dead still at a point. Ladies, God has given you a collar for your man. It is called respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And if you will use respect on your husband, God will use you and it will benefit him in your life. I was reading today, the other day, about eagles. We sing about eagles in the very first song that we sing, Mounting Up on Wings of Eagles. Do you know that the eagle's wings are so broad and so heavy that it can't flap them very much? If it does, it will get tired and fall from the sky. So the eagle has to learn to flap a couple of times, spread its wings, and soar. An eagle just can't keep doing this. Some of you ladies have forgotten how to soar, and you just flapping all the time. I'm tired. Quack, 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 quack. I'm tired. I'm tired of cleaning and cooking. I'm tired of taking care of your children. I'm tired of washing your clothes. I'm tired of cooking you something. I'm tired of you not... Wah, 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 wah. Now listen to me, girls. One of the reasons that you're tired is because you're always flapping. You got to stop flapping and start soaring. Trust God to let the wind catch your wing and stop doing this. Stop it. And start soaring. How do I soar, Pastor? By obeying. We'll see that in a moment. By obeying the Word of God. Her submissiveness. Second word is her makeup. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but let's just read verse 3 and 4 because I want to get to verse 5 and 6. Verse 3 says, and let not your adornment be merely, the New American Standard says, be merely, which means he's not forbidding the use of makeup or the use of setting your hair or fixing your hair or wiring your hair, whatever you do to it. He's not forbidding that. Whole doctrines have been built by goofy people from this passage. And they'll read them, bless God, I want to tell you one thing, girls. I don't be wearing that makeup. And don't be wearing your hair up high. Oh, amen. Betcha. Oh, don't wear any makeup. Lord God, women wear makeup. It's just silly, 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 silly stuff. I'm not talking about that. He's doing a contrast. If you want to know, he's not talking about that. The last thing he talks about in verse 3 is the putting on of dresses. Now, if you're going to say, don't do your hair and don't do your face, you also got to say, don't do the dress. Your choice. Here's the point. Look at verse 4. But let the hidden person of the heart with imperishable quality. Now watch this. Imperishable means it will not fade away. Gentle and quiet spirit does not mean mousy. Not at all. Not at all. You know what it means? It means an uncontentious spirit. That you're not combative and competitive. An uncontentious spirit, watch this, which is precious. It's Peter's favorite word, by the way. He talks about the precious Word of God. And he talks about the precious blood of Christ. And here's what he says, girls. Listen to what he says, girls. He says, when a woman is not all about the outside, but is working on the inside, God, doesn't mention her husband here, God says, that girl is precious to me. Like the Word is precious, like the blood of Christ is precious. A woman who's learned to walk with God on the inside, regardless of the tumultuous world on the outside, a woman who's learned to walk with God, a woman who's not combative and competitive and mean-spirited, God said, that girl, that woman is precious to me. Here's what I want to get to. I want to get to verse 5 and 6 because all my life I've been preaching 1 Peter in these marriage type of environments, but I've never spent much time on 5 and 6, and we won't spend a whole lot of time on it today because we don't have it. But you've got to bear with me till we get through this. Because ladies, I have come to believe in my reading and praying and seeking God this week on behalf of our wives of our church and potential wives of our church. And I believe that this is a word from God that we've missed. And it's about her model. Her models. What is the meaning? Well, look at verse 5. For in this way, watch this. In former times, the holy women, underline holy women. Let's stop there for a moment. Let's talk about holy women. In order for them to pull off what God has said in the first four verses, these holy women who love God have to demonstrate that love for God. How do they demonstrate that love for God? They demonstrate their love for God in showing respect for their husbands. They show up for their husbands. I hear women, sometimes women play this spiritual cat and mouse game about, I love Jesus so much and God fill me with the Spirit and singing with your hands all up. And man, I'm for it. Worship is awesome and powerful. But don't tell me you worship God and love God if you talk to your husband like he's a dog or you talk about him in public like he's a dog. Somebody help me preach. Holy women who love God were concerned for their position with God and demonstrated it by their position with their husbands. Did you know we set up our daughters for failure? We set up our daughters for ungodliness. You find a strong-willed young lady, and here's what mamas will say about her. I'll tell you something, that's a strong girl right there. Ain't no man going to tell her what to do. She'll run all over that man. And we tell her this all of her life. This heart that's beating in her. We're preparing her with spiritual muscles to beat up a man. Emotional muscles to beat up a man. Ain't no man can handle her. Ain't no man going to marry her. And I'm telling you, if he does, she'll run over him like the mower runs over the grass. And the first thing that happens is she marries a man, and the first thing she sets out to do is to look for his weaknesses. And if you look for a man's weakness, you'll find him. Eve knew where to find the weaknesses of Adam because Adam had weaknesses, and every man has weaknesses. Amen, men? We know where our faults are. We know where our tendencies and pro-tendencies are. And if you look for our weaknesses, you'll find them. I want to tell you something. You're setting up some of your daughters in this generation. This culture has set up women to be men and men to be women. And there's something blatantly wrong with that from the Word of the living God. Now listen to me, girls. Listen to me, girls. Holy women. Holy women. Somebody say holy women. Holy women. Ladies, I want to apologize for the Baptist preachers of the world because here's how we have defined helpmate. One who can cook and one who can clean. And we just kind of checked out after that. All right, boys, find you a woman that can cook and find you a woman that can clean. All right, bye-bye now. See you later. Well, I got news for you. The woman in Proverbs 31, girls, you want to use this? The woman in Proverbs 31 had maids. Now, in the first service, the women applauded. Too late. She had maids. Well, what does that mean? It means a man would rather take a woman, his wife, out to eat who respects him than stay home and eat with a woman who's going to whack, 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 whack. A man would rather have somebody else clean his house and converse with his wife than to have his wife clean the house and whack, 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 whack. A man wants a woman who's going to encourage him, respect him, and love him. Now, in order to do that, you have got to have some role models, which means you've got to hang out with holy women. Everything in this culture preaches exactly the opposite of what I'm preaching. Some of you have already gotten mad, and I'm telling you the truth from the Word of the living God, and I'm doing it from a heart of love and compassion. I'm so tired of this stupid world telling women and wives how to be mean-spirited and ugly and brutal to their husbands. Man comes home, and his wife's been watching Lifetime movies. You're done, sir. You're done, Jack. A Lifetime movie starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and ends at 6 o'clock about the time you're getting home. And when you get home, she's got the frying pan ready. He's going to knock you just as out as you've ever been in your life. Or she's sitting there watching Oprah. And Oprah owns the world. Oprah's sitting there telling, don't you let that man tell you what to do. You as good a man as he is. And that's what we've got. We've got women who are gooder men as men are. Oh, somebody needs to help me preach. Yeah, yeah. Some of you guys ought to be helping me preach. Oh, preacher, I wish you wouldn't say this. Oh, she's going to go home and... And so we've got magazines and television and everything saying you don't have to be holy. You don't have, the Word is antiquated, outdated. It's replaceable. And God says, just find you someone who's lived it. Let me show you this. I'll hold your place in 1 Peter and look over to Titus. If you don't know where Titus is, if you're in Peter, go to the left. If you get to 2 Timothy, you've gone too far. It's right to the right of 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 2. Now, if you don't have it, I want to read it for you because it's important. Titus chapter 2 talks about the older and the younger. The older men teaching the younger men and the older ladies, the holy women of old, teaching the younger women. Listen to what he says in verse 3. If you don't have it, listen. Verse 3 says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women, listen to this, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the Word of God may not be dishonored. Now here's what he says. If you want somebody to give you advice, you don't go to somebody who's been married 5 times. At 2-year intervals, and say, tell me what to do. When I was in Jacksonville, there was a couple, Joe and Louise Perkinson. Joe died last year, he was 95. Louise got mad at me when I let the church know down there that I was coming up here, and she wouldn't speak to me. Last Monday, I went to a funeral. A minister of music who had been at the church for 25 years, his father passed. I went to the funeral, and Louise was there. And I walked over to her, and she took me by the ears. And she said, I will always hate you. I will always hate you for leaving. And then she kissed me and cried and said, preacher, I'm having such a difficult time. Her and Joe were married for 65 years. You know what that means? When they got married, Joe was making 13 cents an hour. He rode a bicycle. He was worked at the train yards in Jacksonville down at the viaduct. And he rode his bicycle there. He was a minister of music in a Baptist church. And he rode his bicycle out to Green Cove Springs where they had a radio show. And he led the music on the radio show. They had at least two daughters, I think. One of their daughters lives up here in the Tucker area. They were married for 65 years. You know what that means, folks? It means that they went through every experience in life and came out on the other side. Now, ladies, you find you somebody who's raised their children. And if any of our children turn out to be anything, it's by the grace of God, by the way. But you find you somebody who's raised their children. You find you somebody who's lived with a contentious parked car. And find out how they did it. Find somebody who loved God and stayed with that husband. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and look at the second thing he says in verse 5. For in this way in former times the holy women also, watch this, here it is, underline this, hoped in God. That's your motivation. They hoped in God. Do you trust God? Not do you trust your husband. Do you believe in God? And if you believe, girls, that your husband is the final decision maker, then you're going to rebel against him. And in rebelling against him, you're going to rebel against God. But if you believe that God, hope in God, if you believe that God is the final decision maker, you won't dig in your heels and rebel because you trust God with your husband. You know what a smart woman does? She will trust her husband even if she believes he is wrong. And when she gets tired of it, she will duck because she's been obedient to God and let God hit him. Now, girls, I'm going to tell you something no man's ever told you before. You've got a secret weapon. Well, you've got many of them, but you've got a secret weapon. It's called prayer. And you can motivate and you can manipulate your husband through prayer if you'll stop doing this. Bless God, I'm telling you something, preacher. Yeah, I'm going to work him over. I'm going to hit him with a frying. You shut up that mess and start hoping in the God who saved you. You know what it does when you hope in God? It gives you a faith perspective. You know what perspective is? A kid was outside playing basketball. He came into his house and he said, Mama, I've been looking for an hour, maybe 2 hours. I lost my contact lens and I can't find it. Mama, I've been looking for it. And Mama said, where were you playing? Playing basketball. All right, I'll be back. Mama goes out, and in 2 minutes, Mama's back. And she's got the contact lens. He said, Mama, how'd you do that? She said, Son, you were looking for a piece of plastic. I was looking for $150. The point is, you see your husband through the eyes of God. Imagine you're married, girls, and God comes to you, the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, Mary, you're favorite of God, you're going to have a baby. She may be 16, but I doubt it. And she says, whoa, 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 whoa. What are people going to say? You know what she said? As God you say. If that's what you say, that's what it. Not what Pastor Rick says. But God, if that's what you say, then so be it. And I want to say to you ladies what I said last week. Don't stay in a home where a man abuses you. Don't stay in a home where a man puts his hands on you. I'm not talking about that. Get out of there and get him help. But I'm talking about believing God for your husband. What happens is you get the meaning, the motivation, and the mentors. Can I tell you two quick stories and we'll go? I know it's a little bit late. But they played all these silly games before I got up to preach. Let me tell you two stories. One of them comes from 1 Samuel chapter 25. It's Nabal and Abigail. How many of you are familiar with that story? Nabal was a fool. And Abigail was a woman of God. She was married to a fool. David comes along. Nabal messes up. And David says, hey, if you want me to, I'll kill him. Because David would kill you in a minute. Yeah, how many of you know that? And take your wife. I mean, that's just the kind of guy he was. And she came to the rescue of a fool, and she said, don't kill him. But she went into Nabal, and she said, Nabal, here's what God says. And the Bible said his heart's turned to stone. Now watch this, girls. 10 days later, she ducked. God killed him. Now David, the king, she's married to a fool, remember. David the king writes back and says, your husband is dead. And she says, that's right, I'm available. And she wound up marrying the king because she obeyed God when she was married to the fool. I'm going to tell you a better story than that. Look at verse 6. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. What do you think about that? Ain't going to happen? All right. And you have become her children if you do what is right. You say, yeah, but Sarah was married to Abraham. You know who Abraham was? Father of the faithful? Guy who started all this? We have the faith of Abraham. You know what he did on several different occasions? Because his wife was so good looking and he was such a weenie heart, that he went into Abimelech's place and he said to Sarah, hey, don't tell him that you're my wife. He'll kill me. Tell him you're my sister. And Abimelech made a play for Sarah because Sarah was so beautiful. And then God let Abimelech know, hey, that's Abraham's wife. And it scared Abimelech to death. And he came back and put his bony finger in the face of Abraham and said, what are you trying? Are you trying to get me killed? You didn't tell me that she was your wife. And you know what God did because of Abraham's rebellion? God shut up every womb in Abimelech's kingdom. Listen to me, girls. A woman who walks with God can shut some things up, even if it's in a kingdom. Abraham repented. And though he acted the fool, God changed him to be a king. And here's what happens. According to the last part of verse 6, if you react like Sarah reacted, like the women of old reacted, God's got your back. Look at what he says. You are her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You say, Pastor, I'm so afraid because I've tried this so many times. And here's what God says. God says, I've got your back. I don't want you to be afraid. I've got your back. I have to will to love my wife because God tells me to. My wife has to will to respect me. And you can't do that apart from Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him, ladies and men, it doesn't matter how many programs you go through, how many experiences you've had, you can't obey Him without knowing Him. And if you're here today, my plea for you, without Christ, my plea for you is for you to come to faith in Christ. If you're a family looking for a church home, if you're a single looking for a church home, and you believe God would have you be a part of this place, we invite you to come. If you just need somebody to pray with you, ladies especially, then we have ladies in our church, and I'll point them out, and they'll be glad to pray with you. Congregation, let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, whatever you want to do today, in the life of this church and the life of these folks who are here, I pray that you will be pleased to do it. I pray for that one nearest hell today, that today would be the day of their salvation. And I pray to God for those who really know you but have walked away from you, minister grace to their hearts. I pray for homes to be healthy and holy, even if that means a process of walking through all kind of jumping through hoops to be the home you've called us to be. In the name of Jesus. Worship team is going to lead us. You come if you need to.